A Colorado husband is out on bond. His wife's body found years after her disappearance back in 2020. The daughter's now positioned to testify, and live streams of court hearings now shut down by the judge. We are talking Barry Morphew.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SDS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. This is the show that brings you the very best guests in all of true crime. And every Friday now, it is two shows in one. You've got Surviving the Survivor, but you've got a second show. Second show, so good, it happens every Friday. It's called Leave a Comment with Carm. Carm, the matriarch, the oldest female true crime podcaster at 86 years old that anyone knows of. You know someone older than Carm who is podcasting in the true crime genre, let me know. We'll set up an octagon and they can battle it out. But here she is. Sound the alarm. COE, we need an alarm to sound. There she is. Carm, do you think there is an older true crime podcaster than you at 86 years old who is podcasting on a regular basis?
I was thinking of this. Maybe not an 86-year-old, but I'm 86 and 3 months already.
And this is a real selling point for the show. It's a real hook. You've got the, you know this, Carm. You and I were out for pizza with your grandchildren, my kids, and the COE. It wasn't but 3-4 weeks ago. And I saw a group of five young 20-year-olds. And what I tell them, I said, over there sits the oldest true crime podcaster. What they do, they all started following you immediately, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know if they unfollowed me now, but in any case.
No. Yeah, in any case, they did it.
Just before you start anything, I was trying to, It looks like I cannot communicate with you when I'm behind the stage and you have your eyeglasses hanging down your front and you look funny.
These are my sunglasses. I'm going to put them on because the lights are actually brighter than they normally are. So I appreciate you reminding me of that. Carm, you know, you told me a story. There'll probably be some sort of reiteration of it right now. We're going to get to Barry Morphew in a second. Fridays are fun-filled shows, despite the fact that we do true crime. But Fridays, a little bit all over the place, a little bit ADHD, a little bit OCD, and all... I don't know. I was trying to think of three out of the letters.
I have a proposal.
Yes.
Let's do the Morphew thing first. And then
you shouldn't have to look at your notes to know the name of the person you're talking about. I just saw you look over your notes.
I just mispronounce it, Joel, but I have it written down correctly. Anyway,
correct. Before we get there, I've got to introduce something.
Let's talk about the Morphew.
Is it true that when you were a young child in the former Yugoslavia, you did see someone attacked by a shark, right? Is that correct?
No, we were in a resort on the Adriatic.
Yeah, tell me this story real quick.
And somebody was attacked, but I didn't see it, thank God. We were at the beach, but I didn't see it.
This is a different version then of the story you once told me before, but this is a different sort of shark. The sharks in the water, you can live without because they could rip your leg off. This shark, you can't live without. Carmen, you need that because you're constantly getting scammed by people. But let's get on to Barry Morphew here. This is why people are here. But it's really Suzanne Morphew. This is a photo. This is the wife. This is the family during better times. What were you going to say, Carmen? You already bounced in there.
What I said is let's first do Suzanne Morphew. And then whoever wants to stay like for a little bit longer, Carm.
I know like Donna Adelson, you love to control every aspect of everyone's life in every single moment. I know you wouldn't commit murder or a murder for hire, but I run the show here. I am the producer, with all due respect. I know exactly what we're doing and I know where we're going. I set up the show and I produce it. I have a rundown. Now, some people are going to say, Joel, don't be mean to your mother.
And
Bill Markell might be one.
Respond, because I was only talking because I thought that would be logically better and it would be easier.
That's exactly what I'm doing, Carm. This isn't my first rodeo. You know that in 2026 will be my 30th year in broadcast news. And I figured out, driving my daughter home yesterday from a birthday dinner, it is my 40th year driving in a car. Here it is, Nancy Kane, right here. Joel, be nice to Carm. I can remember the very first drive I took. It was in Dad's, I think it was a Buick Skylark. And I was driving solo, my first time ever. I was reliving that yesterday. Okay, Suzanne Morphew, beautiful woman. Here she is with Barry Morphew. No pictures of the kids here, but Carm, she goes missing. Just to recap quickly, May 10th of 2020, and there is new news here, which is why we're coming back to this now. She goes missing Mother's Day 2020 while allegedly out on a bicycle ride near the family home. Now, Barry is charged initially in 2021. The case is dismissed in April 2022 without prejudice because of issues with evidence disclosure. It was basically a catastrophic disaster for the prosecution. But let's just circle back. You're a licensed therapist and a smart woman. What do you make of a disappearance on Mother's Day of all days?
I don't know if it's by itself so significant. Maybe for the daughters who lost her, the two daughters. But in general, for true crime, I don't think it's so significant that it was Mother's Day.
You don't. You just think it's a random day. I mean, it is a day, and by the way, the daughters, it's Mallory and I want to say Macy.
Yes. I checked.
They checked on their mother. The mother couldn't be found. But don't passions, I guess, couldn't they run higher on a day like Mother's Day when you know the kids are calling in? Maybe the husband is feeling a bit defensive. And then goes ahead and potentially snaps, which is essentially what the state is now saying. So you don't find anything unusual about the fact that it is on Mother's Day.
It's a holiday, and I don't think it's a holiday that people don't work on that day, unless it's a Sunday. And I think it's not a sheer coincidence. I think it's probably has some significance, but not a major one. It's not like Christmas or Easter it's a minor holiday compared.
Yeah. Well, let's start breaking down. I'm getting a spam call as we speak, which is why you need Surfshark to get rid of spam calls. They never stop, even while you're podcasting. Coercive control is a crime. That's a great title. This case is so disturbing. I think the daughters are totally under his control. And I tend to agree because they are standing by his side. But there is word, which we'll get to, that they might be compelled here to testify by the government. So we will gonna see if that comes to fruition or not. But Carm, let's start to, as they say in the fight game, break down the particulars here. This is another family photo, by the way. This is with the daughters. Beautiful family, Carm, correct?
Correct.
And Barry, as far as I know, originally they're all from Indiana. And Barry had at least a minor league baseball career. So he was an athlete. Carm, what about that? I mean, let's just talk about the psychology of that for a moment. You're a good looking guy. You're a top athlete in your chosen sport. And then age starts to catch up with you, Carm. You know, this could happen to men and women, but I think particularly for men, you know, being a former professional tennis player myself, and a, you know, one-time TV celebrity, you know, then you hit middle age and things start to take a slide downward, Carm. Do you think that Barry Morphew was in some sort of, also in some sort of existential crisis, some sort of middle age frame of mind where he's thinking
crisis?
Yeah, because he was having an affair, apparently, but she was also having an affair. Do you think he felt like he was starting to lose control, maybe feeling, you know, like he wasn't this once young, dapper, strapping man that he once was? Thank you to Julie.
Well, there are many complicating factors, and the most complicating factor is that Suzanne, when they finally found her body, we will get to that, they found a port, and the port is a permanent insertion in the, I guess it's in the chest, so that chemotherapy could be, when they have to administer chemotherapy, they would be an easy access. And she was getting treatments and had this, literally this needle with this cone in her chest. She was diagnosed with follicular lymphoma. And that means that she was also sick. Maybe she was in remission, but
she had cancer. Yeah, she had cancer. I mean, we know this, that she had cancer.
Yeah, it could be also that that was frustrating for him too, to take care of a sick wife.
And that's an interesting take. That's an interesting take. I mean, look, I don't need to tell you, the pressures of life become intense. You've got kids, you've got a wife, you've got, you know, other things going on. That's an interesting take. I haven't heard that. And now you're suggesting that she's sick. I mean, I don't know how much he was taking care of her, but clearly something started to go sideways in the relationship because she's having an affair. He's having an affair. And Mo Roma here clarifying, that's a cute little dog right there. Subclavian catheter is what it is known as, subclavian.
Yes.
I think that means under the clavicle. Science people try to
anyway,
be a doctor.
It's used so that not every time she goes, let's say she has to go every second week for a chemo, they don't stab her and look for a new way to administer, but they have this permanent thing. And it was interesting, when they found the body, which was, by the way, in September of 2023, she was she disappeared in on Mother's Day 2020, and in September of 2023, they were looking for another victim, the investigators, and by totally randomly, they stumbled upon this shallow grave, and they found remains of Suzanne. Of course, it virtually it's only the bones and the clothes and this port. They found.
They found the port. Can you pronounce the county she was found in?
I don't have to because I have no idea.
Sawatch. But
well, it's probably an Indian name. But then it was 40, 50 miles from the house. And yeah. I remember watching a long time ago, watching one of your programs where they were saying that he was a landscaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah, correct.
And
correct,
that
correct.
Day, Mother's Day, he went somewhere with his, did he have an alibi?
Yeah.
Where did he go?
He was running around with his truck, and we'll get to some of that as well. But here's Tina Horn. I mean, you're talking about, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that maybe he was feeling, I don't know, undue pressure because she was going through cancer treatments, and maybe he felt like he was now a caretaker. Although, I don't know. I think it was more that he was jealous that she was with this other man. I mean, they're married and he's philandering the whole deal. But here's another thing. They were in financial trouble. She wanted out. She knew how bad things were. This is something I never worry about personally, but I can understand it.
It's a joke, everybody.
Yeah, but Carm, that's another thing. You know, in school, they teach you addition and subtraction. I'm doing this with my kids now, long division, pretty much like the most meaningless things that you'll never do. What they should teach you in school is that life is brutal. It's unrelenting. There is illness. There's divorces. There's marital strife. There's financial pain. They should teach you how to invest. They don't do any of this stuff that you actually need in life. Should the education system in our country change at all, Carm?
I always said that a long time ago, maybe 50 years ago, maybe 60 years ago, I always said one thing they should teach you in school is both the art of living. Because on the other hand, which you didn't mention, life is beautiful and it has a lot of difficulties too, but they don't teach you how to navigate.
Oh, look at this. Annie K says the G is pronounced. The G in Sogwash is pronounced. I'll pronounce it like Sogwash. My goodness, I love Carm so much. You remind me of my late grandmother. Carm, how do you handle, you know, one day, we talked about this on the last show, where you were a young, beautiful woman. Now you're just a little bit older, beautiful woman. By the way, your hair looks amazing. It really does. I know you went to the beauty. How often do you go to the beauty, Paula?
Every 10 weeks.
10 weeks?
Yeah. For the color, I go to every 10 weeks.
But aren't there women that go like in your building? Don't they go every like
I don't
week?
Every week.
Yeah.
I do not the art, go.
Look at this, a book, The Art of Living, a new book by Carm. Please save me the emails from all of you to say that I've got ADHD. Monday to Thursday, I'm perfectly focused, fine. Fridays are supposed to be like this. This is what Fridays.
I don't like it. It's
okay. Well, then you don't have to be a part of it.
Take care of the case because it's a very, okay. Very so fascinating case.
We're going to work from most recent to most least recent. Carm, what do you think of this? Okay, let's go to this before we get to what I was going to do from Annie K again. She wants you to comment on the daughter's loyalty to their dad.
Well, in all fairness, I cannot comment on that because I had no father, but I see women are... Even adult women, never mind teenagers, and little girls, they are very, very fond of their father, and they have a very great attachment. However, in this particular case, not only did the girls side with the father after the disappearance of the mother, but the courts... 10 days before a trial that was supposed to take place, they dropped the case. In other words, it was a logical thing that if even the court system, the system of justice gives up on Barry Morphew, then why should the daughters not believe him? And they were totally supporting him. And now they were subpoenaed, and they understand.
Yeah, but Carm, I mean, it's a little counterintuitive, right? I mean, to me, well, I don't know, maybe not. I mean, I would think that the daughters would obviously be devastated about this fact that the father is charged with the mother's murder. But instead of, I guess, sticking up for their mother and saying, you know, this guy's a monster, it's their father. I mean, how do you?
I tell you, there was nobody from 2020 Mother's Day 2020 in May until 3 years later in August. There was nobody, and the girls might have thought that she ran away with a boyfriend, or that she ran away by herself, or she changed her identity. Maybe they didn't even think she was dead. Now that the mother was found, they're still supporting the father, and they were asked to testify for the prosecution, and I think that will be a significant thing, because they will have to do it. They have no choice but to do it. And that means,
I mean, they're under oath, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the truth will come out, or they'll be completely forthcoming there. But I guess, but why? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think that they are counting on the daughter's testimony to condemn him, or find him guilty. I think they have enough evidence, for example, that injection that you give to deer.
Bam, the tranquilizer. Yeah, you're getting ahead of us, Carm,
okay,
here.
But
you look at this photo of him with his two daughters, Mallory and Macy. I mean, are you surprised that they appear to be like daddy's girls, that they are completely smitten by their dad and they are going to believe him wholeheartedly? Does that surprise you that you know, these girls who I believe are in their early 20s or thereabouts, that they are so, I guess, blindly devoted to their father, or is that a natural instinct?
Actually, do not know the latest. You know what happened when this whole thing broke out in 2020? You know they were with the father, and mm-hmm. they wanted to believe that he was innocent, because you don't want to lose both your parents at once. And now maybe they have their own doubts. They have their own questions. We don't know. I mean, they didn't make any public statements or didn't do anything. The first time, the reason that 10 days before a trial, Barry was let out from the whole... what is it called when the whole trial was
without prejudice,
yeah. The understanding that later, if there are other circumstances, they can retry him again. But the first trial, the prosecution didn't give the...
Did you just say prostitution or prosecution?
I said prosecution. It's not funny, Joel. I mispronounced it, but not to that degree.
Yeah. What do you think of the fact that when Barry was out, this is pre-bonding out, which we're going to get to in a second, but while he was out, he was using a pseudonym. I forget. It was something more. Was it Barry Moore? It was something more. But he was using a pseudonym, and he was hitting on women. Does that surprise you? Are men just pigs? And
where
they're just
did
gonna,
you see that?
This happened a while ago. You didn't read the older stories, but this is a fact here that he was hitting on women using a... He was caught in a bar on tape, I think, making an advance on a woman. Are men just disgusting pigs that even if they have a dead wife that they're going to be charged in their murder, that they're still out hitting on women. Does that surprise you at all?
No, that doesn't surprise me that there was a very famous Lenny Bruce joke. Your father liked Lenny Bruce. He was in the maybe in the late 50s.
Lee Moore was the word he was using. Another Joel, be nice to Carm. How am I not being nice to Carm?
Wait a second. You tease me a little too harshly, but I can handle it because that's what I get for a long time. But anyway, Lenny Bruce had this joke, and now you are an expert in knocking the jokes out of me, and I don't remember them. When I remember the Lenny Bruce joke, I'll tell everybody.
Okay, let's get on to some of the specifics here. So, just this past September, it is the last day of Happy Halloween. By the way, Carm, you going on trick or treating today?
Joel, what is wrong with you? If you cannot focus, just say sorry, people. My brain is not functioning today. I let Carmela run this one.
By the way, I got a nervous. Nancy Grace called me out. She's like, Joel, did you read my book? You didn't read my book, and now you're yelling at me. And then I go home and the COE yells at me, so I just get yelled at by women all day. Mid-September 2025, Barry Morphew, he posts bail. He's released from custody. I mean, this is really unusual. This is a first-degree murder case. He's got a GPS monitor on. It was a $3 million bail, I believe. Someone correct me if I'm wrong about that, but there was no specifics on what he actually had to pay down. I guess my question to you, are you surprised? Jeez, if I get one
did
more.
They let him out?
Oh, yes. Look at this. Black Widow, be nice to Joel, Carm. Thank you, Black Widow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Why should I?
Are you surprised that they let him out, period?
Yes, he must have a very good attorney. The name of his attorney is David Beller.
He's one of the best, somehow, if not the best.
Yeah. Anyway, what happened was that, yes, there is a $3 million bail money bond, and you only have to put down, turns out, 10% of it. And people who sympathize with him collected the money, and the only thing he had, he's on home detention. They took away his passport, and what else did they do? Oh, he wears an ankle bracelet, and the only time he can leave his house is to go to see his attorney. Or for medical help.
In Miami, ankle monitors are like ankle bracelets. Like everyone's got one. Look at this. Ain't no hollow back girl. Yay, Carm. Where are you? Where it's snowing on October 31st? Ain't no hollow back girl. Please let me know where you are. And I'm just glad I'm not there. No offense. I know it's somewhere in Canada. I see a Canadian flag. But let us know specifically where in Canada you are. Now, Carr, moving along here, according to recent filings, Macy and Mallory Morphew are now named as potential witnesses for the government, not for the father, but for the government here, not for the defense, but for the government, even though they have publicly, as we've talked about, supported the father. The quote goes, the fact that his own daughters are listed as potential prosecution witnesses adds a key emotional and strategic layer to this case. That's one of the attorneys talking in a case summary. That's interesting. I mean, how do you go, Carm? How do you switch from, she's in Ontario, Canada, but that's like a big area.
Way you switch is by, they found the body and they sent the body, the bones. That was virtually the only thing remaining, plus the clothes, plus this port. They sent the bones to a forensic lab, and it was discovered that there was this thing called BAM, which is three chemicals combined together in a syringe to tranquilize deer. And then they checked who in that particular area had a permit to use that. And the only private person that had the permit for that was Barry or Morphew.
One, yeah, you're kind of glossing over that, Carm. This is, there's one.
I know where you are going. And
no, there's one private citizen in the entire state of Colorado that had some sort of prescription for that.
This, and it was Barry area Morphew of Colorado.
I think in the whole state, I believe.
Okay.
But I'll go with.
But the more interesting thing is that they checked the washing machine and the dryer of the Morphew home, and they found top of a syringe for this BAM, and they found the BAM in the bone marrow of Suzanne, and of course it's fatal.
Back to Ain't No Hollow Batgirl. She's in a place called Kawarthis in Ontario, Canada. Never heard of that. It's got to be north of Toronto, is my guess. Very cold, willing to be adopted by Carmen, Florida. Judith, a very serious plea here. I wish Josh would not interrupt his mother, stop criticizing and bullying her. She is focused and he is not. Josh, do better. Do better, Josh. Neil Campbell. Two reasons to take into account when considering bail. This is true. Public safety. I guess they don't think he's a public safety threat. And number two, showing up for court hearings. Guess they thought Barry is a good risk. Neil, excellent points. I wish Josh would stop it. Perfect weather. Jomar, it is great weather in Florida. I'll say this, though. It's a bit too fall-like for me today. And my my seasonal affect disorder could kick in at any moment.
If you notice, Joel is now dressed in layers. Usually he has one measly t-shirt, and now he has a jacket on top of the t-shirt.
Yeah. Jomar saying Carm knows the facts well. Yeah. So the court order here now, this is Carm, we're talking, the right for the public to know what's happening here. And it appears the public is not going to have a very good sense of this case. And I'll tell you why. On October 28th, this is 3 days ago, the court granted a motion in the Morphew case to, and I quote here, cease unmonitored live stream of court proceedings. That's because external channels broadcast hearings without authorization. So some YouTubers out there were airing. Sometimes you will get a feed. I'm trying to think, there was something very recent. Oh, in the Ellen Greenberg case in Philadelphia, you could watch a feed, but you were not allowed to record it or play it back. And that was the case, I think, in one of these hearings. But YouTubers gonna YouTuber. And that's what they did, and they played it. And so now the judge is saying no stream for this trial, which aggravates the public because the public wants to see this trial. Now they are not going to be able to watch it, Carm. What do you think?
What makes you think that it's YouTube?
COE was telling me that are YouTubers.
Okay. But in any case, c'est la vie, as they say in France. That's life. The judges have the prerogative of either making the trial public or not making not just people who go there and sit there can see it. But can you go into the? You can go into the public area of the trial, right? Where the
Yeah, you have to travel to Colorado to now see the trial. So they just basically screwed everyone over.
I truly didn't understand well. What will happen November 3rd?
You got ahead of me. I don't even know if I know what's going to happen. But let's go to this and then we'll swing back to that.
Back to court.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of case management hearing ahead of this. But Patricia Burns here. She says, Carm, I'd love to get your take as a licensed therapist here. I can't see Barry going down for this. I think he's too narcissistic and will off himself before that happens. It's interesting. I don't get that vibe from Barry. He seems like a cocky, arrogant human being to me. Carm, you're the one that knows everything. What do you think? You think that when his back is against the proverbial wall, that he will eliminate himself?
I don't know enough about this man. I only know that looking at him, I think the only reason he got out before the first trial was because the prosecutors, who are not persecutors, just prosecutors, mishandled the case. And by the way, one of the prosecutors was disbarred. What is
that? Yeah.
Is that the term disbarred?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's good enough for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Newfoundland, Canada. We have a new member.
It's pronounced New Finland, but yes, it is.
Newfoundland.
They're New Finland dogs as well. Do you know where New Finland is, Carm?
Must be in the north. It sounds like in the north.
You fly over it every time you go to Europe.
Oh, yeah, right. Now I remember. Yeah. Yes.
So, Carm, just rehashing some, this. I guess let's go. You brought up BAM a million times. It's a tranquilizer gun. Now, Barry was an avid deer hunter. There's all these movements of the phone. He said that at one point he was shooting chipmunks and stuff. But what do you make of the fact that he's the only one with this BAM tranquilizer that's used for deer? Literally the container is found, the dart container is found in his dryer. What do you think of that method of eliminating somebody? You know, he'd probably incapacitate her is the theory.
I don't understand it, because did you run into this where they said that he owned a deer farm?
I don't think he owned a deer farm. I think he was an avid deer hunter.
Okay.
But I don't know. But I mean, the question is, what do you think of this method? It's not every day you hear about a deer tranquilizer being used in a potential murder.
I know that animal tranquilizers are used a lot in different situations. If you watch, animal shows, when they want to, let's say they want to, for example, they want to follow a certain animal's migrations. They catch the animal, they give it an injection, and then they brand it or attach something to it, and then it wakes up and they can follow it.
By the way, Ain't No Hollow says, he did have a deer farm. So I stand corrected, Carm. He had
a
deer farm.
Is a deer farm?
I think that's where you raise deer.
But why would you raise deer? Do people eat deer?
Can someone in STS Nation tell us what is a deer farm and why would someone have a deer farm? Those are Carmela's.
And can deer meat be eaten?
Yeah, deer meat, that's called venison. You know who eats deer meat? Carm, you can't read the comments and podcast. You can't do both at once. Do you know who eats deer meat regularly? Fred and Ethel. They eat venison. That is deer meat.
I don't think it's deer meat.
Tisha Leeway. Have you come across that name, Carm? Tisha Leeway.
No.
Okay, well, back in June of 2025, the Daily Mail caught up with her. She recalled a terrifying 2020 incident during a volunteer-led search. This was on Barry Morphew's property. On his property, where they were searching for Suzanne all the way back in 2020. And according to her, Barry came out with his shotgun that he uses to kill deer, and he yelled, "Get the F," but he used the word "off my property." This woman said that the group, including an elderly man, were shocked. She says, and I quote, "We were so shocked. It was unsettling that someone would act like that toward people trying to help find his wife." She now believes Barry wanted Suzanne's body to remain hidden. "I don't think he ever wanted her body to be found. I think he knew his days were numbered." What about this story, Carm, from a neighbor who is now blew the whistle on
I have a related question. When he was rearrested now, Barry was in Arizona. And then his lawyer agreed to extradition. Why was he in Arizona?
It's a great question. Do you know the answer?
Absolutely not.
Oh, I think it's probably just good weather and he was trying to get away. And I think he thought he was going to get away. But, you know, moving forward here to 2023, this is where we get to Sawatch County. And that is where ultimately Suzanne's remains were found, which is, Carm, that's, you've been to Tucson. I mean, it's literally like finding literally a needle in a haystack, maybe even like a needle in 17 haystacks. They were looking for some other person when they came across her remains. Let me just stop it right there. Isn't that a miracle in and of itself that it was ever found? I mean, if he is responsible for this, he's got to be saying to himself, how the hell did they find her?
Well, I mean, it's not so different in my mind, from what happened in the Adelson. You know, when Dan Markell was shot and the neighbor next door was sitting in his bay window living room and looked out, and for a split second, for example, if I would have been there, I wouldn't have known what kind of a car it was. But he said it must be a Prius. And on the basis of this very unlikely, very low odds statement, they found the car, they found the perpetrators, they found everybody, and that's how the thing was unraveled. You know, my husband used to say, life stands, you know, on a dime. You know,
life would turn on a dime.
Would turn on a dime, yes.
By the way, when am I going to see my father again, Carm? Is that going to happen soon?
We'll talk about this later, little boy.
Okay, David Beller, and then we're going to switch up. We're going to do some crazy stories of the week, and then during that and before that and coming up on that, it is time to leave Carm a comment, a question, anything you want. You can ask Carm about absolutely anything. It is not paid professional advice. It is just her opinion.
Anything you want, and probably 90% I don't know the answer, but the 10% that I think I know the answer, take away 5% of that.
There are 891 more people in this chat than I thought that there would ever be. His current attorney is this guy named David Beller, which might as well be Baller, because apparently this guy is the criminal defense attorney in Colorado, this guy Beller. He says, and I quote, "Wow, I've never heard a defense attorney say this, so brace yourself." He says that Barry maintains his innocence. He says, yet again, the government allows their predetermined conclusion to lead their search for evidence. What's interesting is that Barry had previously filed a $15 million civil suit against prosecutors, and his former attorney, who's also a powerhouse, a woman named Iris Eitan, she said at the time that Barry was the most scrutinized, dissected, surveilled individual. Law enforcement cameras, phone taps, GPS trackers. I would say Don Adelson and Charlie Adelson were up there. And I would say that, you know, Bin Laden at one point was probably up there as well. So maybe that's
except
a bit
Bin
of
Bin Laden didn't use any technological.
Now, yeah, nothing. Carm, the one other thing here that defense attorneys are going to absolutely jump on is that there were some unknown foreign male DNA, I believe, found on the glove compartment of her car. So what do you make of that? I mean, that could be a million different things. It could have been that she just brought it in for an.
I learned during these years of true crime, I learned that if somebody, let's say the car had some mechanical problems 3 years before, and they were working on it, and by some kind of a turn of fate, they touched the glove compartment. There was still DNA on that glove compartment. It doesn't mean that that happened. First of all, when she disappeared, she didn't disappear from a car. She disappeared allegedly
on a bike ride.
On a bike ride, allegedly.
And by the way, those bicycle clothes were found with her remains. So I don't know if it was made, if staged to look like she was going on a bike ride. But again, you know, I don't know that people really have this. If you haven't lived in the Southwest, which is where I did live, and that's where I met the COE. If you've never been to, let's say, Tucson, Arizona, I mean, it's like the ocean, except it's desert. It's as far as the eye can see. Carm, I've got to think there's a part of him that still just cannot believe that her remains were found. I mean, she was far from home, literally in the middle of nowhere. That's like the opposite.
And they weren't looking for her. They were looking for somebody else.
Look at this comment. Joel, behave or Carm will help you see your dad real soon. You know what the implication is there.
I'm not going to kill him.
Yeah. I don't know. This maybe could be our last Friday show ever, Carm. I don't know. We'll have to see what everyone says. I'll go by public opinion here. But all right, let's move off of Barry. Before we move off of Barry, do you think he, you know, there is, for a very good defense attorney, there is some wiggle room here. I think the fact that tranquilizer dart capsules in his dryer is a bit of a problem for him. But you think he gets convicted here, Carm? What are your betting odds telling you?
Well, first of all, the first prosecutor was not only fired, but was also disbarred for mishandling. What she did, I think it was a woman, she did not share with the defense a material that was in favor of Barry. In other words, she withheld information that was beneficial to the defense. Now, this time, I'm sure it will be played very, very honestly, and nobody will take a risk to do any kind of monkey business.
Yeah. Look at this. This is interesting to me, this comment right here. Then we'll move on from Tammy Martin. Could be an accomplice, fingerprints on the glove box. So already Tammy Martin could be any juror. And if she is having some potential doubt or thinking there's an accomplice, a very seasoned, no offense to Tammy, but a very seasoned criminal defense attorney could potentially sway a juror. You know, potentially sway one juror and get a mistrial, a hung jury in this case. Who knows? So I don't know. I think Barry, sadly, I have no doubt he's responsible for this, but I think he's got a puncher's chance, as they say in the fight game, Carm. Do you agree with that or not?
No, I don't. I tell you, I would have agreed with this if they wouldn't have found in Suzanne's bones traces of this BAM. But since they found the traces of Bam, and he was the only one outside of government, like forest rangers and people like that, who had a permit to own this very strong
Carmen, you know, you would have been a phenomenal criminal defense. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass. You would have been a very good criminal.
I have been my own defense attorney since I'm born.
Like, why didn't you apply yourself? Why didn't you apply yourself more in life? Like, you could have accomplished more.
I have a master's degree in social work. I worked with my husband, who is a psychiatrist. And I raised two wonderful children.
Yeah.
And even some dogs I raised.
Yeah. I mean, you could have done a little more, in my opinion. But grateful 1111.
Yeah, if I wouldn't been lazy by nature, I could have.
Yeah. Same with the COE. She could have been a criminal defense attorney. For sure. She could have been
Joel.
No, I cannot. I'm not argumentative. I'm doing what I probably is the only thing I could do. Farm raised deer. And by the way, Grateful gave us a super chat. Thank you very much. Very sweet. Farm raised deer are typically harvested for commercially valuable products such as meat, hide, fur, velvet antlers, blood, and even the penis. The latter three often used as adaptogenic ingredients in traditional Chinese medicine. Huh.
Wow, this person really knows her.
Yeah. Listen, one of Fred and Ethel's absolute favorite treats in the world are bully sticks, Carm. Do you know that?
The what?
Fred and Ethel chew on bully sticks. Do you know what a bully stick is?
No, I don't want to know. Spare me, okay? I don't have to know everything.
Okay. Here's my vote for continuing the Joel and Carm show. Oh, thank you. Is that Ellie or L? I can't see anymore, but thank you.
Ellie.
All right. Enough with Barry Morphew. It's a Carm, I'm like unbelievably relaxed today that it's actually making me very tense now. I went to the gym and for some reason I'm relaxed
today.
You
still have the endorphins.
And I'm taking my kids trick or treat. Like when I get relaxed, it makes me incredibly tense. Like I'm starting to get very, very.
It's called the paradox. But I have to tell you that I learned something from you last week, and I used it already. This expression, Occam's razor.
Yes.
Which means that if there are three different possibilities, the most simple is logically the most likely. Like it gives an example. If you see some hooves in the snow, like trace of hooves in the snow, you don't immediately think, oh, it must be a zebra. You think it must be a horse.
Well, that's a horrible analogy. I think zebras do have hooves, but I get what you're saying.
Not on your farm
I get what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. In Occam's razor, Carm. The most likely scenario is the most likely thing. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Carm, let's move it along here. Have you ever heard of Enough Barry Morphew? Barry, you will face justice in a court of law and it will not be televised thanks to a bunch of moronic YouTubers who ruined it for everybody. What was this?
Well, will there be anybody there that we know who can tell us about it?
Maybe me. I might go cover that case. It's a good case. Okay. So, Carm, have you ever heard of Dalia Attar?
For some reason, I heard Dalia, but I don't know if Attar.
She's the first Orthodox Jewish woman ever elected to the Maryland State Senate. One of the highest ranking Orthodox Jewish women, just 35 years old. Do you know why she's in the news?
In Maryland, you said?
Correct. In Maryland. Correct.
Why? No, I have no idea that she's in the news.
By the way, Grateful says this is a huge case. You should go. I might go, but I'm really bummed right now that it's not televised because then we can't show the trial. But we'll have to see. There's like 700 cases I'm supposed to follow. Every single one of them has been continued, literally. Like, I don't think there's anything going on till after the first of the year right now. There was something I was going to say before I get back to Dolly. Oh, this is the point in the show. If you, I don't know, are in a bad relationship, if you're in a good relationship, if you have toenail fungus, if anything going on in your life that you need advice about, leave a comment for Carm. That's why this show is called Leave a Comment. It's two shows within one. It's Surviving the Survivors. Leave a comment. You have to put them in triple Qs. Now's the time to ask Carm, a woman with 86 years life experience, a child Holocaust survivor, a licensed therapist. She lost a child. I have a book about her called Surviving the Survivor. She tracked it. It's on Audible. It's on Amazon. But now's your time to ask her questions as we go through these wacky stories of the week.
So who is this?
Okay, so Dalia Tarr is the first, as I said, Orthodox Jewish woman, 35 years old. Well, she's now in jail behind bars. She's accused, along with her brother, Joseph Tarr, and a former Baltimore police officer, not a name you hear every day for a Baltimore police officer. His name is Kalman Finkelstein. How many Baltimore police officers do you think are named Kalman Finkelstein? They are in jail accused of orchestrating a scheme to install hidden cameras in a smoke detector to record a political consultant. So they had this smoke detector installed, which was really a camera, and a nemesis of hers, a woman, was sleeping with a married man, and they filmed all of this on multiple occasions and went to this person and said, if you speak out against us, we are going to release the video. The Senate president, a man named President Bill Ferguson, said the Senate of Maryland holds its members to the highest ethical standards. We will continue to do so as we learn more about the alleged facts in the indictment. She's going to face a slew of charges, not to mention the fact she will likely be kicked out of the Senate, all for trying to extort and threaten a political opponent. Your thoughts?
It's getting it too far. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy.
What, Carm, why do people get so carried away with themselves? Like, I would say to myself, I'm a state senator in Maryland. Like, okay, whatever. Like, am I really going to install a smoke detector? Like, why do people get so self-important that they are like, I'm going to film this person and now I'm going to show them the video and I'm going to threaten them with this sex video? Okay, why?
What did your mommy teach you?
People are self-destructive.
Exactly.
But why don't they think before they do something as stupid as that?
Because they are self-destructive. They are not. You have to think of the consequences. If you don't have a moral compass and you don't think that it's morally not right, at least think that come to the realization that it's totally impractical and you'll be caught.
Questions are coming in for Carm now. This is my favorite part of the whole week, by the way. Kate, I would normally say Lunger, like I'm lunging at you, but since it's a last name, I'm going to go with Kate Lunger. I just turned 50, Carm. I have a law degree that I have never used. I want to practice now. Should I do it, Carm?
Like yesterday. Yesterday you should do it. Today is Saturday, Friday, Monday, do it.
Just what would hold you back, Kate? You feel like you're too old now? Let us know.
You must do it, and you have to report back. Joel and I would like, if you don't want to do it publicly, get in touch with us through an email. I'm counting on you.
Survivingthesurvivor@gmail.com. Bernadette B., Hello, Carm. Do you prefer your professional social work career or being a true crime podcaster?
Well, I really, really loved my social work, professional social work stuff. And I always said that this profession was made for me, and I was made for it because I was minding other people's business, which Joel says I love to do, which is unfortunately not far from the truth. But I also cared. I had empathy. I had curiosity. I had, I enjoyed people. The true crime story is still in the same vein it's still human behavior stuff. When I do any kind of true crime podcasting, I still use the same brain and the same view of these people. They are human beings first, and I find it fascinating to understand people, to understand what makes them tick. So they're not so different from each other.
Carm, I have a question of my own. Will I ever find peace, or will I just be anxious my entire life at this level, at this degree?
You know, there is this very interesting little...
like, I have trouble breathing from just stress. You know,
this
just,
guy is holding a little bird in his hand. He's holding the bird in his hand. And he says to his friend, "Do you think this bird will live? Or will it die?" And the friend says, the future of this bird is in your hand. You decide.
Carm, if you were to order a slice of pizza.
Pie.
Oh, no, pie, not pizza, pie. If you're going to order a slice of pie, what is your go-to flavor? And is it a la mode, like with ice cream, or is it plain?
It's plain, and it's a butter pecan pie.
Questions are getting phenomenal here. Okay.
They're deep.
Sean Diddy, by the way, got moved to Fort Dix, New Jersey, Carm. It's a low security prison. It's unbelievable. This guy's getting away with what he's getting away with. But before leaving the Metropolitan Detention Center, they had a Halloween dinner at the MDC. I believe it was Thursday or Wednesday. And he was given baked fish, spinach, coleslaw, and turkey roast. No candy was allowed because he's in the Metropolitan at the time, the detention center. But people are comparing that. Last year, he wore this viral Batman costume, and people are comparing the viral moment of him in a fancy Batman costume a year ago to now sitting. Well, now he's in New Jersey. What is the moral here? Is that how quickly life changes?
Well, he got away with, wrong way to put it. He got less than people expected. And he wasn't happy with it because he got more time than he expected, but it was still less than what he was indicted for, and he must be a little bit furious because he has to be there another few years. You are talking about Fort Dix like it's the Hilton.
Well, it's a low security prison. Here we go. Another question. Did you work as a social worker in hospice ever? And if so, what were your observations?
I never worked in hospice. I worked in the JFK Hospital in Edison, New Jersey. And I worked in intensive care. And I was involved with people who were in terminal states of an illness, but I never worked with the word? Suddenly this is
hospice.
Hospice. I never worked with hospice. However,
you watch your husband in hospice,
that's
as did I.
Exactly what I wanted to say.
Let me tell you, those guys are the biggest heroes that there are in this world.
You don't seem to understand, Joel. The hospice would come around virtually every day when my husband was in a serious nursing care facility. And they came every day, not every day, every week, once or twice. I got to really.
Do you understand how condescending that phrase is? You don't seem to understand, Joel. That's what I've been hearing my whole life. No one, you just said you don't seem to understand, Joel. I understand, Carm. You said to me, you don't seem to understand. You're talking about hospice.
In reference to what?
To my observations at the hospice. I said that those guys are rock stars.
No, but you don't seem to understand that he was never in hospice. My husband was never in hospice. They would come around and try to talk me into putting him into hospice because he was definitely a candidate. But I just couldn't bring myself.
Do you know what Shohei Ohtani makes? His 10-year contract is, do you have
an
idea?
You told me $300 million. He's
$750 million.
Same difference.
And the nurse who took care of my dad as he was dying probably makes $35,000-$40,000 a year. Our world is a disgrace. That guy, for no other reason than being an amazing human being, was taking care of my dad as he was taking his last breath, making sure he's comfortable.
You know what happened?
And you got a baseball player who throws a leather ball that, you know what the baseball is filled with? Rubber bands. That's what it's filled with. 100 miles an hour, and they get paid $750 million. Our country, our world is backwards. Go ahead.
I don't think it's backwards because people need bread and circus, and baseball is the circus part.
By the way, my father's brother, Uncle Ron, who is alive and well, he helped eradicate smallpox in the 1970s. He lived in this is my dad's brother. He lived in the African bush. He's a professor at George Washington University, even though he lives in Portugal, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But
he's
the point
retired.
Is, sort of retired. He was very active. He's one of the leading experts in the world in pandemics. That's his world, is pandemics. And needless to say, he was in high demand during COVID. But I said to him, he's a huge baseball fan. He used to go to Nashville.
He gave you points so you could travel.
Yeah, he did. For our honeymoon, he gave me, he's been to like 100 countries and he has like 7 million frequent flyer miles. And he sent the COE and I to Africa for our honeymoon. But I asked him once while watching a Nationals baseball game, I said, how come you literally saved the world from smallpox and you get paid the salary of a doctor, but these baseball players are making $100 million contracts? He says, because no one wants to pay to see me. That's a good point. I took it. Carm, it's about time. I'm building the foundation of my own YouTube channel, I assume. She doesn't say YouTube or he. And want to pitch what I have so far to Carm. Before I start uploading content, email her survivingthesurvivor@gmail.com. Email her survivingthesurvivor.com. Look at this. Joel, do tons of cardio. I just was on the bicycle and the Stairmaster, and I did weights before that. People don't think I'm working out that hard. This person says, stop whining, Joel. I work out exceptionally hard and I feel good, but now the endorphins are starting to wear off a little bit. Here we go. This is a question, Carm, with a super chat here from Tammy Martin. Do you think Wendy will get convicted? You're a doll, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Let's start with an indictment.
May I say something interesting? Interesting to me. I was like surfing Instagram And I came to a point where somebody videotaped answers that Wendy gave when she had to testify under oath with immunity in the trial of her brother and her mother. And one of the things that Georgia asked Wendy, if anybody doesn't know the background to this one, that's very strange because this is the most talked about case in the last few years, but we would be glad to let you catch up. But this woman, when her husband was murdered by her family, she changed the name of her two sons to her own last name. And Georgia asked her, "Don't you think that your name is more embarrassing?" She said, Wendy said, "The reason why did you change the name?" And Wendy answered, "Because I felt they would be safer." And Georgia said, "Well, the most people don't like the name Edison." And now comes the point I tried to make. She said, "Soon," the person said, "Don't you want to change it back to Merkel?" And she said, "Soon they will have a new last name," implying that the guy that she lives with, she will marry him.
It's not now's the time. If you have questions, leave a comment for Carm time. Sub Rosa here says, 86-year-old says, "I was scrolling." I think she said surfing Instagram. No. Carm, how much time a day do you spend on Insta? Tell us the truth.
25 minutes, up to 30 minutes.
Up to 30 minutes a day. Some people are saying they already changed the name to Estrada. Okay, next wacky true crime.
This is serious. So to answer the person who asked me, do I think that Wendy will be indicted? I think she will have to be indicted. Will she be found guilty? Or will she, with her genius lawyer and her own cunning, get out of it? It's possible, but I think she will be indicted.
Wow, look at this. This is next level dedication. I probably listened to STS at a wedding. It's a big deal. And look at that. Black Widow, is that your Halloween costume? It's pretty wild if it is. Let us know if that is your current look right now. Okay, Carm, next crazy story of the day. Officer Matthew Jackson, you ever hear of him?
No.
He's a Detroit Metropolitan Police officer, 36th District Court. He has a hearing. I don't even know what the hearing was for, but it was a Zoom hearing. He's a police officer, and he was on a Zoom hearing, and the judge notices something, and Judge Sean Perkins says to him on the Zoom hearing, "You got some pants on, officer?" And Officer Jackson responds, "No, sir." The judge's expression went viral. The Detroit PD confirmed an internal investigation, calling it, and I quote, "not representative of our professionalism. Court policy explicitly requires business attire." I'm adding this part, more specifically, pants. This guy had no pants, Carm.
It has a historic precedent.
You're going to mention Jeffrey Toobin?
Yes. No, I wasn't going to mention because I didn't completely remember the name, but that's what crossed my mind. And he's still on there on CNN, and he pontificates and he gives opinions and so forth.
Well, when I saw the story, I re-quote tweeted it on Twitter saying the Jeffrey Toobin of law enforcement. Carm, have you ever had thyroid issues or Graves' disease? Interesting question.
Not yet.
Carm. By the way, Jeffrey Toobin's mother was some big publisher or something. He didn't get to where he was, although he's very smart. But no matter what he does the rest of his life, he's going to be known as the man who masturbated during a Zoom during COVID.
But I wasn't bringing up that part of this situation.
Yeah, but
I was bringing up the fact that he had no pants on.
But do you think he goes to a therapist knowing that he'll only ever be remembered?
But how come they didn't fire him?
Because he's connected, like everyone else. I mean, how come?
No bitterness. Next.
Karm, but do you think
he
is?
Why did she ask if I have thyroid issues? Do I look like I have thyroid issues?
I don't know. Are there any other questions for Karm? I mean, this is there's something about the energy of this show. I'm way too relaxed. I can't go to the gym before a show. I don't feel right.
When he feels good, he doesn't feel right. Either he feels right or he feels good.
Yeah, good thing I'm going to get a jolt of I don't know what from
reality
my three kids.
When you go home, reality.
I'm going to have kids are high on
Halloween on
what are those sugar? There's like they eat those Sour Patch Kids, or they're not sour, but I don't know what they're called. Okay, wacky story number three, Karm. This is a big revelation. I have to say, my daughter Vita was the first to jump on this and in our circles, but now apparently Kim Kardashian is all over it. She is insisting that the 1969 moon landing was fake. She said to actress Sarah Paulson, and I quote, "I don't believe the moon landing happened." She claimed that she sent Paulson, this woman interviewing her videos, and said, "I've seen Buzz Aldrin talk about how it didn't happen." And she cited the flag blowing. Apparently, there's no wind up there and no stars in the photos. My daughter, by the way, has done research on this and says something about the shoe print. She probably gets her news from Kim Kardashian, which is why my daughter at 11 thinks the moon landing didn't happen. NASA clapped back on X with a post saying that we assure everyone we went in response to Kim Kardashian. NASA says we assure everyone that we did in fact go. Karm, do you remember watching, this was 5 days before I came into this world. Do you remember watching the moon landing on television?
What was the name of the guy who did it? Never mind. I never remember names, but it was
Armstrong.
A small step for him and a big step for humanity. I know my granddaughter Vida tried to convince me and used all sorts of logic and examples why it wasn't real. And, you know, being paranoid, I could imagine it wasn't real, but Karm, I think it was real. I think it was real. You know, that's called historic revisionism, and it's done a lot with the Holocaust. Except the good thing, the horrible good thing, is that. At that time, they were already, movies like and photographs, and so it's harder to deny. But I think the moon landing.
Are you having a Mitch McConnell moment?
We should.
Are you having a Mitch McConnell? You just stopped talking.
I have the thought we should ask Loeb.
Ask who?
You remember the astrophysicist from Harvard?
Oh, Loeb. Avi Loeb. We could have him on. What do you think about the fact that Kim Kardashian is famous for being famous?
I tell you something. She pays a price for it. It doesn't come free for her. Her body is completely mutilated. I never saw anything.
She also said she got a brain aneurysm from the stress. By the way, if you lost hair or got aneurysms, I would have been bald when I was 9. I would have had 75 aneurysms already. It's also genetic, but she claims from Kanye that that's what happened. Honolulu Water, question for Karm. What should I do about a narcissistic, awful sister?
Well, don't tell anybody. I think my sister is a little narcissistic too. And in a certain way, I feel sorry for her because she's stuck in this. Now that we are older, I speak with her every other day on the phone. I call her, and it's usually the topics are always about her. And I try to squeeze in a little bit about myself just for equality's sake. And then you literally can see her eyes glaze over, and she says she's tired now, she has to go. And I'm not exaggerating, but I feel sorry for her. She's stuck in this, like in an armor.
This is not about you and your sister, Karm. This is about her and her sister.
I think my sister has improved. I don't know what a close proximity you live in. My sister lives in Europe. She's my half sister. She had a wonderful father who was my stepfather, and my sister reminds me of him. He was a narcissistic. I think I am a firm believer. Try to have some kind of a relationship where you are not sucked into her thing and you don't become her victim.
Karm, I have a question, my own question. If I want to change, if anyone wants to change, how does one change? It seems almost impossible to change who you are, but I really would like to become a more relaxed, calm individual. I'm enjoying being relaxed today a little bit. It is stressing me out, but how does one change? That's my question.
You know what? I have a mirror in the bathroom. And when I pass by the mirror, I see I'm hunching over, really hunching over. So I every time now that I pass by that mirror, I try to straighten out my back. And I try to work on it little by little. I try to work on straightening my back. I suggest you do the same. But not with your back, with your anxiety.
From Twirly's mom. I want to go on the record saying that the Thursday before the World Series, and I will pull the clip. I will pull it. I said that the Blue Jays are going to shock the world. I said that before the World Series.
And?
Karm, it's happening. Karm, tonight is Game 6 back in Toronto. Do I prioritize watching my Toronto Blue Jays, Karm, or handing out Halloween treats to trick-or-treaters? First pitch in Halloween primetime coincide in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Well, what is more important to you? You have to make a choice. I think the Halloween is the whole night, but the first pitch is only one moment. So I would go for the first pitch. All right, I'm adopting Courtney. How many children do I have now?
I don't know. Let's see here. I just went to a 100-year birthday. She had to have her party in a gym. There were so many friends. She reminds me of Karm. Karm, what are we going to do for your 100th birthday, Karm?
Thank you. God willing, I will have my 90th. Somebody asked, how did you get to 90? He says, I was 89, and then I had another birthday.
Yeah, Karm, you ain't there yet, but... A lot can happen in 3-4 years, but you'll get there. Don't worry. Here we go. This was my question. And look, it's coming back up again. I didn't see this. I swear, grateful. Karm, do you think it's possible? I'm very interested in this, to change behavior.
100%, yes. And you know what is said? Sometimes you don't want to change your behavior, but you still change your behavior after 50. Because of your life and what's going on. Like, being a widow is not the same as being married. So you have to change your behavior.
All right, Karm, the final story here. 5 new suspects arrested in connection with the Louvre heist. The stolen jewels worth $100 million remain missing. Happened during the daylight hours on October 19th. They posed as maintenance workers. They basically just walked in. Two suspects have admitted partial involvement. They were trying to head to, I believe, Algiers. They were stopped at the airport. They came in like ghosts and left like phantoms, somebody said. And now five more people are arrested. My question is, where are these jewels, Carm?
First of all, it was not an insider job, I read. There was
What do you think it was?
A bunch of people realized how easy it would be, and the jewelry is in Algiers in a jewelry manufacturer place who is taking apart the crown and so forth and taking the diamonds down.
Carm, you live in a high rise in Miami Beach. Will kids come knocking on your door who live in the building to trick or treat, even though the average age is probably 87? No. The kids come by?
No.
They don't?
No.
And do you feel...
They come by downstairs at the concierge.
Do you feel like you should drive by now to watch your, by the way, your grandson lost his other body. He has two missing bottom teeth now.
I heard. It's very exciting.
Do you feel compelled to come here to watch your kids trick or treat for a little while?
No.
Is there a final question? Look at this. My dad was a pitcher with the Blue Jays. Wow. That's good. Athletic genes in the family. Is there a final question for Carm as we bid adieu here? Carm, do you have any life advice as we head out on the Friday of Halloween? We're heading now into the dead of fall, the winter months here in Miami. And
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Let's see how good your memory. You remember I said I have a joke by Lenny Bruce. And then you talked about other things and it flew out of my mind. And now I'm wondering if you remember what were we talking about?
At the time that I interrupted you?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I assume Barry Morphew.
Barry Morphew, how, what? What was the...
I don't know why.
By the way.
Are you trying to remember your joke? Is that why?
Yeah, I wanted to share the joke. And I get a kick personally telling the joke. I usually kill the joke, but I enjoy that.
Well, Dad always used to tell... It's not about the... Dad always used to tell the joke. This is a... what's his name? Lenny Bruce. This is a Lenny Bruce joke that my dad used to tell, and then he would laugh at his own. He would laugh at him telling the joke about Lenny Bruce. But it's like a 3-hour joke that I'll make 5 seconds, which is a boy is raised in the forest by wolves. Is this right, Carmen?
No. It starts before that.
Okay, you tell the joke. No. We'll leave with a joke. Maybe this is a good way. No, because I don't even understand it. Well, I mean, I understand it, but I don't know how to tell.
The beginning of it is that the family goes camping with a lot of children. And now you can say what you are saying.
Say that again. He goes camping with a lot of kids?
Yeah. The family.
Carm will tell the joke. We'll end every show with the joke on Fridays. Carm, let's...
Don't want to steal it from you, Joel. You were doing great.
Okay, so kid goes camping with his family in the woods of Maine, and he gets lost, and no one can find him. And he is now stuck in the depths of the woods in rural Maine, not far from Newfoundland. And he comes upon a pack of wolves, and a pack of wolves takes this young child in, not 3 or 4 years old at the time. And the young child realizes this will be his upbringing now. No more parents, no more suburbia. He's living in the woods, but the wolves realize that this young boy is destined for greatness. He is incredibly smart. He gets raised by these wolves all the way to the point of taking his SATs. He has to go into town, by the way, to take the SATs.
No. Hunters find him, bring him back to civilization.
Oh, they bring him back to civilization. He applies.
He can't speak. He goes on all fours.
He goes on all fours, but he's a brilliant man. I didn't know any of these details.
They don't discover it until later.
The genius gets into Harvard. He graduates from Harvard.
With honors
from Harvard. He studies with Dr. Avi Loeb. And then one day, he's at Harvard Square. He sees a car racing by. He chases the car and gets run over and killed by the car.
It is not a joke. It's a story about it's hard to
break habits,
change what you learned.
Is Lenny Bruce even funny? Like everyone says he is like
funny.
This is
a morality tale, but
every stand-up comic says that Lenny Bruce is their inspiration.
He was a trailblazer.
Nancy says you got it all wrong. Nancy, can you email me at Surviving Survivor and tell me what the proper joke is? Look at this.
What?
Carm, will you please get some help for Joel? Save us all. Then we have you all to ourselves. Love you, Carm. You're the best.
Well, I cannot. I'm not going to get rid of my son.
Someone said that's a dismal rendition of that tale. The bottom line is...
That's also true.
You are who you're raised by, right? That you can't break...
What you learned. You were on all fours. You were behaving like a dog and chasing a car.
Here we go. Boston girl. Lenny Bruce was an amazing comic, especially for that time when, yeah, that's what it was. He was a trailblazer. He was the first one to.
I wanted to tell you.
He was the first one to curse.
My mind.
He was the first one to curse and do. He was a heroin addict, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a drug addict.
I don't have that kind of courage to put a needle in me. Carm, who are you predicting in the. This is game 6 of the World Series. It's 3-2. Toronto's up. They have to get to 4 games, and they have 2 games to try to get to 4 games. Do you think Toronto beats the heavily favored Los Angeles Dodgers? And they're playing the next 2 games in Toronto. Your prediction?
No offense to anybody, and I don't know anything about this, but is this rigged? Because I'm always amazed.
Basketball is rigged.
I'm always amazed that they have to play all 7 games.
If you guys would like, Carm and I could do a tour. We could go. I could drag her across the country and into Canada. We could stop at all your hometowns and do this nonsensical show for 45 minutes. If everyone would like us to do that. Yeah.
Not in the winter.
Joelle. Why does Nancy Grace call me Joe? You call me Joelle, but so does Nancy Grace.
Well, she's from the South. Where is she from?
She's from Georgia.
So you see?
Yeah.
Pronounce it as like a Southerner.
Carm, I think we've...
Worn our
stay. What is your final... You have a final inspiring thought as we head into Halloween evening.
Yes, happy Halloween to all of you, and God willing, we'll have another occasion to meet, and of course you can see that I enjoy this, and it's a great thing for me and my morale, but don't feel that you have to do it for me, because I would be okay without it.
I'm absolutely exhausted. I think I also have chronic fatigue syndrome, but I'm going to go home and be forced to trick or treat. The final thing I will say is they thwarted a terror attack in Michigan. So kudos to law enforcement, some sort of Halloween based terror attack. The other thing I will say, I heard this on the radio. I agree. Slow down this Halloween. You get somewhere 5 minutes later. It doesn't make a difference. And that will save at least a kid out there from getting run over, which happens every Halloween with idiots racing around neighborhoods to get somewhere so they can catch something, you know, and be there early. Instead, be a little late and save a kid.
That was very nice. It's a nice public service.
Thank you. Love you, America. Love you, Carm. Justice for everyone who deserves justice. May all people over 50 change their behavior if that's what they so desire. Love you.